Well, good morning. It is good to be here with all of you at the chapel and all of you that are in other venues at the chapel. It's an honor to stand before you. I feel like I'm a little bit at home here. Behind us here with these pallets, we have 91,000 meals a day in Haiti that goes out to kids, and we get a bunch of those pallets. So at home right now in church, behind our pastor is pallets on the wall as well. So I feel like I'm at home. Also, my wife was born and raised in Fort Erie, Canada. Yeah, her dad was from Buffalo, worked here, and would go back and forth. Her mom was from Canada. So as I married her, I married into being a Buffalo Bills fan. I will say we do have a divided house, though, because I'm from Indiana, so I'm a Colts fan. So our kids, we just kind of wait till they're about 16 and we go, which is it? You're going to be a Bills fan or a Colts fan. So it's a split house right now. But it's good to be here. It was an honor to have the church youth group with us last week in Haiti. The church here has been significant. And you all sending the youth down, sending teams down, has been incredible for us. Just this past week, they were able to go out and do strategic village time. Strategic village time is a time where groups come down and they go out house to house in Haiti, and they minister to those in those homes. They share with them how to live healthy so that they can grow and their lives can be transformed. But ultimately, they share with them who Jesus is and the plan that he has for their lives. This past week, they were able to see several come to faith through that. And so just this past year, because of your support and churches like you, we've been able since January to visit 1,000 homes, over 1,000 homes now. And every house has about 5 or 6 people in it. So since January, because of support like y'all, we've been able to go and minister and share the gospel with over 6,000 people. From that also, we've been able to do projects, just like the youth group did. They planted trees. Now in Haiti, trees are scarce. Much of Haiti is deforested. So for them to be able to go in and plant trees really sets a future for many people. And so when they went in, we've been able since January to do 2,000 projects in the villages. Those are 2,000 projects that the pastors of that village told us, if we could do this, this would help them see life transformation for every man, woman, and child in their village for Christ. So over 2,000 projects have been done by church groups like y'all that have come down. From that, and this is the best part, we've seen over 500 people make first-time commitments since January to follow Christ. Amen. So we are ecstatic about what God's doing through the partnership and through really seeing a nation transformed. That was our call there. I also just want to take a minute and say thank you to Daryl. Daryl has been a significant partner of ours and Pastor Jerry. Daryl came down and taught many of our pastors and helped us write a curriculum that's going to change the trajectory of the church. He's helping us change the nature and the purpose of church in Haiti. And the curriculum that he helped us formulate will be taught to over 1,000 pastors this next year. So I'm so thankful that you sent Daryl to us. And I also want to mention Pastor Jerry. We are so grateful for the friendship we have with you, Pastor Jerry. I got to spend, I think 4 or 5 days traveling around Dominican Republic and Haiti in a van. And I was mesmerized by his stories. I was laughing and crying in the same moment with all the stories. But all that to say, man, you guys are blessed. I get to be around a lot of pastors, but Pastor Jerry's phenomenal. But you have powerful leadership here. It is an honor to be a part of the recipient series. I know a few weeks ago you heard about redemption and how we are redeemed. And then last week, Pastor Jerry spoke about forgiveness. And today, It's awesome that I get to speak about adoption, because adoption is near and dear to my family's heart. My 2 younger brothers were adopted when I was in high school. They were in the foster system in Indiana. My parents adopted them. And you know, when I got married, my wife and I never thought we would adopt, but we'd been in Haiti about 3 months. And there's just one small building there in Haiti at the time, and I was called to go to an orphanage. Now, I went to school, I studied Christian education, but they didn't prepare you for what to do when you walk into an orphanage. I walked into this orphanage, and it was about the size, half this platform. It was just a tin roof, no walls, and a concrete floor. And there were 60 kids. It was just me and a Haitian pastor as we walked in, and these kids were sitting on the floor all over here, and many of them barely had any clothes on. few of them were hitting the floor praying for food. And as I walked through this and I saw these kids, and they looked like many of them had bloated bellies from worms and orange hair from malnutrition. And I'd, again, been in Haiti 3 months. I had no clue what to do. So I began to pray, God, what do I do with this? And these kids, some of them, you'll see this when kids are very malnourished. They have, their heads look really big because their growth has been stunted. So their bodies are shrunk and their arms are real small. And as I walked through, just touching them on the head, praying for them, saying, Lord, show me what to do. I looked over in the corner, and in the corner was this three little boys. So I thought, hey, that's where I want to be with a little boy. So I walked over to these little boys, and sitting right in the corner on a patch of dirt, he had no pants on, this little boy, and a shirt that sat on top of his belly because his belly was bloated with worms, and he had the orange hair. And I walked over to him, and I noticed that he had went to the bathroom right there in this mud, and nobody had cared for him. And I got over to him, and this little guy put his arms up like this to me, looked at me with these big brown eyes. Now, I have to be honest, what I thought when I saw that was I thought, God, out of 60 kids, why the kid with no pants? I mean, come on. So I thought, well, my odds are good. So I picked him up, and I held him, and he grabbed my neck so tight. This is 1999 when this happened. Grabbed my neck so tight, and it was this, as if the Lord whispered in my ear right then in that moment, this is your son. And I had an interesting conversation with God at that moment. I said, okay, Lord, God and I have this conversation a lot. You know, we just got to Haiti. You know, we've been married 2 years. We haven't even talked about children, having children. I'm reasoning with God, and I said, okay, God, I can't do it. I put him down. So I left. His name was Junior. I left Junior right there. I thought, God, you're going to have to show me more. So I went back to the mission. My wife was there. The next day, she was going back to this orphanage. And she was going to visit the kids, and she was bringing nurses to see them. So I went back, and I said, Vanessa, whatever you do, when you go to that orphanage tomorrow, do not pick up a little boy named Junior. She said, it's a true story. She said, okay, I won't. She had no clue who Junior was. So I was helping a work team build our church. She went back the next day and sat down in the middle of 60 kids. The nurses were all setting up, getting ready to do a clinic, and she just sat down to visit with them because she loves to play with kids. And when she sat down, there was a little boy that sat down next to her. This little boy put his hand on top of her leg, and she touched his hand and realized he was really hot. So she went over to the nurse and said, can you look at this little guy? And the nurse came over and said, Vanessa, this kid's sick. If you don't do something, it's a good chance he's going to die. So fast forward, I'm at the church on a ladder, building the roof, and I look over, and what do I see? My wife carrying a little boy named Junior. So now I realize we've been married 2 years at this point. So I walked up to her. I'm trying to be tough guy here. I said, Vanessa, what are you doing? She said, Brad, we're going to keep him for 2 weeks. We're going to get him healthy, and then we're going to send him back. Now here's the thing. Being married 2 years, I bought it. It wouldn't happen today, but I bought it. I said, okay. So we took this guy home, and from going from despair where he had nothing, he didn't know where a meal was going to come from, to the place where in 2 weeks' time, with consistent food and consistent love, this little 13-month-old boy was running around with big dimples on his face. And we knew that God was right. He was our son. And so there's a picture of JD or Junior. This is Junior. This is actually the day that Vanessa went to that orphanage. The day she went there and she picked him up. Praise God, somebody snapped that picture. I love it because it's showing him come out of the darkness into the light. And it's adoption. I believe that's what adoption is coming out of the darkness into the light. You can see in his eyes the despair that was on him. And now if you want to show the next picture, this is JD today. Amen. That's today. JD's 17. He's going to be a senior in high school. Loves to play American football and is pretty good at it. He'll play college somewhere, but loves Jesus. Loves Jesus. And I just, you know, to think of where God brought JD from to where he is now, from this sick kid that was going to die There's no doubt he was going to die. And God sent my wife and I in, and now he's the JD he is today, Junior Dean. What long after we had Junior Dean in our house, though, we got a knock on our door. I opened the door, and this is in Haiti, and there's a 3-year-old girl sitting there. She was covered with scabies, and her mom was a young teenage girl that had abandoned her. And at this point, we had just actually had our first biological son. So we had 2 boys, and a month later, this little girl is now sitting at our doorstep. And my wife and I prayed about it, and we realized that she had no hope if we didn't take her in. So we adopted her as well. And I can tell you, the adoption process of watching a child that is hurting come into a home that he or she has loved and the future they have is a picture of what God's done for us. It's a picture of where we were in darkness coming into the light. It's a picture of where we were in despair coming into the hope and the promise that we have. Today, I want to talk to you about what it means to be adopted by the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you'd open them to Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. I love this passage. It says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you this morning that we can see that we are recipients of your adoption, your love that you have for us. You brought us into your family. So, Lord, I ask this morning that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you would have for us, and that, God, we would not just be hearers of your word, but, Lord, we would leave here being doers of your word. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Amen. So it says that he adopted us. In the Greek, that literally means to be placed as a son. God taking us and placing us as his son or his daughter. In the Roman times, you see adoption as well. The Romans, they believed that adoption was for the purpose of the adoptee to take position as a natural son, and get this, I love this, so that they could continue the family line and have an inheritance. I believe there are 3 things that us as Christians need to know about adoption. The first thing is this. We were chosen. We were chosen. You see in verse 4, it says, he chose you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Think about this for just a second. The God of the universe, the God that made everything that we see, chose you. Next time you're having a bad day, think about that. The God that made us, that made everything, chose us to be his sons and his daughters. Now, you know, when I was in grade school, I was what my mom said. I was big boned. I remember those times at recess where they would divide up teams, you know, and you'd have this guy over here and a guy over here, and they would choose teams. I always dreaded that time because I was not a small child, and I liked to eat a lot. And so when I would go in there and they would start picking, they'd pick this guy and they'd pick that, for example, dodgeball. I had a pretty good arm, but I was 3 times the target as everybody else. I wasn't going to get chosen first. And then, you know, kickball, I could kick like crazy, but it took me recess and half a lunch just to get the first base. They weren't going to choose me. So I always dreaded that process of the choosing. But that's not how God is. God chose us through Jesus to be his sons and daughters. That's something that we can celebrate. You see, God looked down and saw the condition that we were in as orphans, fatherless. He saw that we were without hope, and he sent Jesus so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be forgiven, and we could become his sons and his daughters. In Haiti, they have a statue. It's called the freed slave statue. And if you don't know the history of Haiti, Haiti for years was under slavery from the French. But It's 1804, they got their independence. The first black republic in the world to have their independence. And so to celebrate that, they have a statue, and I think we have a picture of it. This is the freed slave statue. And on the back of his ankle, you can't see it on this picture, but there's a shackle with a chain that goes off that's broke. And it represents the fact that that guy has been freed. He once was a slave, but now he's freed. And then you see his machete in his hand, that he's a warrior and that he got his freedom. And then on the top, this is my favorite part, the conch shell. If you've been to Haiti or the Caribbean, you know they have big conch shells. That conch shell, he's blowing. And he's blowing it in a sign of victory, in a sign of freedom. You see, as believers, we have been freed from the chains that held us back, those sins that held us down, the despair we were in when we were adopted by God as sons and daughters, set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Those chains were broken. That sin that had you was broken. And we can celebrate the fact that he chose us. We can blow that big old conch shell and celebrate that I was chosen by the God that made the heavens and the earth through his son, and I have freedom. Amen? I have freedom. That, to me, is an awesome thing. So we have to remember that we were chosen. The second thing is this. We're changed. When we become sons and daughters, our lives change. I remember when we bring kids into we have an orphanage now. We bring those kids in. It's amazing to see what happens in their lives in the first 24 hours. Inevitably, the kids will sit down when the first day they come in, they'll sit down at the dinner table. And as they're sitting there, they will eat and eat and eat. And they'll ask for more food and eat. Sometimes they'll stuff the food in their pockets because they're not sure they're going to get another meal. But as they stay there just a little bit longer, within about 2 to 3 weeks, they realize, hey, I don't have to do that anymore. I got another meal coming. Hey, I don't have to worry about stuffing all my clothes in my backpack and walking with them because I got a home now. You see, when we become adopted by Jesus Christ, we are changed. There's a few ways that I think we're changed. The first thing is this: our names are changed. Our names are changed. The man, the woman that we once were, that name we used to have, today we are different. When my two brothers were adopted, I brought them in. I was 18 when they were adopted. And I brought him in. We had a sign in our house that said Johnson. Son, I worked hard for this name. I built it to give it to you that you could carry it on with integrity. So I brought these two boys in there, and they were 13 and 10. And I said, listen, your new dad, he worked hard for that name, Johnson. And I've worked in this town hard to keep that name good. And when I can guarantee you this, you are not going to mess it up. You're going to carry that name on. When we become followers of Christ, our names change. Everything about us changes, and we have a responsibility to carry that name further. Second thing is this, we're changed, we have a new purpose. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we are children of God, we are to have a different purpose. We're not running for ourselves anymore, but we're running to seek his kingdom first. When we do that, it is amazing what will happen. In just this room, if you think about the gifts that God's given you, the gifts that you have, teachers, doctors, nurses, engineers, mechanics, moms, there's so many gifts that God's given in this room. If we will take those and simply seek God first with them, Buffalo will be different. Buffalo will be transformed when we realize that we have been changed. Our purpose has been changed. Third, we have a new family. Hebrews 13:1 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Man, the thing that I love most about our family, we call ourselves the double stuffed Oreo family because we have two black kids and two white kids. And my little girl that's 11 now, for the first 9 years of her life, now she's white, she's my biological child, she swore she's black. I love it, because they don't see color. They grew up loving each other, they had a family. And when we become believers, adopted in the family, everybody in this room, if you proclaim the name of Christ, if he's forgiven you of your sins, we are family. That's awesome. When we hurt, We are together. We saw that right after the earthquake. It was amazing. You know, you had all the different ministries all around Haiti, and everybody's doing their own thing. None of us ever talked. And then the earthquake happened. Everything we had was crushed. And in that disaster, everybody forgot who they were, but they remembered whose they were. And they walked in, they began to work together, and we became a family. And in that 6 months to a year where nobody raised their banner of who they were, only that they were followers of Christ, it was amazing what God did to move the kingdom forward. We are changed and we are family. And lastly is this, we have an eternal inheritance. John 14, 1 through 4 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. If you go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. I know I am. You know the way, that a place that I'm going." Praise God, we have eternal life. It doesn't stop here. When we're adopted into the family, we don't just get the family line, but we get the inheritance of that. We don't lose hope for this life. We know that we have an eternal life to come. That is a good thing. We are changed. So we are chosen, we are changed, and the third thing is we are charged. This is powerful. Ephesians 3:20. It says this, "Now in him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and Christ, Jesus Christ, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Get this, immeasurably more than everything we could ask or imagine. That's a lot, but this is the best part. According to his power that is at work within us, the third part is we are charged. We are charged. God's power through us charges us to do more than we could ever think or imagine that we could do. The first thing, though, we have to do is we have to remember where we came from. As believers, we have to remember that we were once orphaned and now we are adopted. I'll never forget, we had six kids that came from that same orphanage that my son came from. These six kids were the sickest six kids. We had to negotiate just to get them out of the orphanage. And we got them out, and they did the whole thing where they grabbed food and ate like crazy. And for 2 years, these kids grew. And they were phenomenal young men and women. But then one day, we had a family that came to us, and through an accident, seven kids were orphaned. And we brought these seven kids in, and these seven kids were very poor. They were dirty. They didn't have shoes. We brought them in, and I introduced them to the six kids that had been there for 2 years. Now, these six kids were poor and dirtier than those kids. And I went down about 6 hours later and I saw them. The six kids that had been there 2 years were on this side of the yard, and the seven kids were on that side of the yard. That's weird. So I went up to these six kids, and these are, you know, 10 to 5-year-old kids. And I said, "Hey, what's going on? Why aren't you playing with those kids?" And they said, "Those kids are dirty and poor." I thought, my God, they forgot where they came from. They didn't want to associate with them anymore because they had made it out. We have to remember, as the body of Christ, where we came from, what God's done for us. When we look around and we see the world that is just seems like spiraling out of control, we have to remember that if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for the redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, that we were adopted, that could be us. We have to remember where we came from. And the second thing that we are charged is to take on the Father's heart. To take on the Father's heart. I remember I asked JD, I said, "JD, what's it mean to be adopted?" He said, "Dad, out of millions of children, God chose me. I don't know why. But I know I have to use my life for him now because he chose me." 1997, as Pastor mentioned, my wife and I went to Haiti on a missions trip. No clue we were ever going to move to Haiti. We had the Father's heart to go there. But when we walked into this village and we saw this little baby that died in her father's arms in front of us because her mom and dad were into voodoo, God whispered in our ear and said, "I want you to go to Haiti and win Haiti for Christ." Now, I did what I did with JD, with my son. I sat down and I said, "God, there's a few things you need to understand. I went to college and I studied, and I'm living the dream right now. I'm playing golf 3 times a week. I just bought my first car. It was an Eddie Bauer Explorer. Now, some of you will know this car. It was the teal and tan one. Yeah, it was sweet. It was waiting for me in my garage. So here I am in Haiti. God's saying, go to Haiti. And I'm going, God, you know, my game's starting to improve. I got that teal and tan Eddie Bauer waiting on me. Life's good. It's kind of going the way I planned it. And then I thought, and come on, win Haiti for Christ? I mean, that's like, can we like change one life, but a whole nation? But then we went. And this is the one thing I can tell you, that he's done immeasurably more than we could have ever asked or imagined. And the only thing that we did was say yes. And from that point, he has charged us, and his power has come through us to be able to help win a nation for Jesus Christ. Today, I challenge you to be charged. What is it that God is asking you to do locally, right here? It may be today that you can't even say if you've been adopted, if you've accepted Christ. And today, if that's you, I challenge you to stop by the fireside room and see one of the pastors in there. They'd love to talk to you about what it means to be in the family of God, what it means to be a follower of Christ. But it may be that right now you're sitting here and you have a gift that God's given you, and right now you're using it to advance your kingdom. Maybe God would challenge you today to take that gift and use that to advance his kingdom, so that God could use that gift that he gave you and brought you into his family, and through this body we could see Buffalo transform for Christ, that every man, woman, and child in this geography would hear, feel, and see the gospel. It may be that God's challenging you today that you need to adopt, like we did. Maybe there's kids all over that need foster parents, that need adopted. Whatever it is, I challenge you today to say yes. To don't discount it because you can't figure it out. See, I almost didn't go to Haiti because I couldn't figure out where the money was going to come from, how we were going to drive, what we were going to live in. But God said, go. He'll do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Today in Haiti, we're challenged. The challenge that we face today is that God's blessed us with a great school system. We have over 6,000 kids in our school. 1,600 of those kids right now are without sponsors. Now, that's the hard part that we got to deal with. But the hard part that keeps me awake at night is there's a waiting list of 4,000 kids that want to come into the school. What's it look like when they come into the school? They're going to get one of the best educations in Haiti. They're going to hear the gospel repeatedly, and they're going to get nutrition. We're going to see them grow. We've seen over almost 900 kids graduate from our high school to date. But when these kids come in, there's 4,000 of them that are wanting in. It's 4,000 moms that right now are praying for God to do something miraculous so their children can have an education. Today, we're going to watch a video about a young man named John Mark. John Mark's mom came to me at Christmas time many years ago and said, at church, and said, Pastor Brad, if something ever happens to my son, would you take care of him? She's a beautiful lady, very healthy. I said, absolutely. Not too long after that, she passed away. John Mark came into our orphanage. John Mark will tell you his story, but I just want to ask you this. As you watch this video, I would ask you to do this. Please pray about helping us. We need people that would say, yes, I will change one life. 1,600 kids sponsored. We need you to sponsor one if God would lay it on your heart. It's $35 a month, and that covers them for the whole year. The $35 a month covers them everything they need in that month for their education. Food, education, teacher's pay, books, everything. You will change their life. So as you watch this video, please pray about that. This is the story of John Mark.
If you read in the Bible the story of Joseph and David, you will find me there. My story is their story. My name is John Mark. I'm 17 years old. This is the village where I grew up, in Haiti. Most of the people here are poor. There aren't many opportunities for the uneducated. My mom was very gentle and generous. Her dream was for me to get an education, to not have the same life that she had. But going to school cost money. She would go around with guys, doing bad things with them to get money so I can eat. One day, she stole something from someone. The people tied her to a post and beat her. I cried for them to stop, but they just laughed at me. All of these things happening because of me, so that I might have a better life. A few months later, my mom got very sick, and on Christmas Eve in 2006, she died in a hospital. I didn't even find out until 6 days later. After her death, I was alone. I was 10 years old. I was so hungry, and I was like, Lord, I know you fed 5,000 people. I am only one person. Why can't I get fed? And then God provided. I've been at Mission of Hope for 8 years now. When I first woke up here, I thought I was dreaming. You were sleeping in the mud. Now you get bed, you have shower, food. I couldn't believe it. Totally couldn't believe it. Now you and the family. I never thought I would have an education, but God has given me one here. It's paid for by people I don't know. They sponsor me to go to school. I like math and physics the best. If I wasn't in school, I would not have a future. I'm learning so much that I want to share with others too. So I tutor. So if somebody comes to me and tells me he is hopeless, I will understand because I've been through it. If I don't take what God has given me and use it to help others, who will? There are so many more like me who are still in the street and have not had the opportunity I was given. If my mom were here, I think she would cry and be proud to know that all her dreams are coming true for me. I like the story in the Bible of Joseph and David. Both of these men had great difficulties, just like I did. But God was with them always. Maybe the bad things in your life happen so that you can become strong. It is from the struggles that we grow.
So here's what I want to challenge you to do. By the way, I wasn't quite prepared for that video. I had not watched it previously, so I'm up here going, I need to pull it together before I start talking. Thanks for that surprise attack, Brad. That's what friends do. Here's what I want to tell you. There's a couple of ways for us to be able to respond to the message today. The first one is certainly that if you've never come to a place of surrendering your life to the Father, I want you to know that you have a Father who loves you, as we've just heard, a Father who will adopt you in and through Jesus Christ because of what Christ has done on the cross, paying for and absorbing our sin, dying on our behalf, satisfying the justice of God, and rising from the dead, conquering sin, death, hell, and the grave. You have a future and a hope if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. And if you've never done that, when we dismiss in just a few minutes, We would love it if you would just make your way out to our fireside room. It's clearly marked in the atrium. There's some pastors and some friends that are in there who would love to take a moment and share with you how you can know that you're a child of God. And you say, well, everybody's a child of God. No, no. Everyone's a creation of God. But not everyone is a child. It says, to those who received him, to them who called upon his name, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. It is to those who have put their faith and trust in Christ that we become adopted kids. So if that's your need, when we dismiss in a moment, I want to encourage you to come by the fireside room and let us pray with you and send you home with something that's going to help you in your journey of faith. But let me give you a second thing. If you came in and you received a card when you were coming in on your way in, this card is really super important. We want to partner. Mission of Hope Haiti is one of our strategic partners at the chapel. We are consistently doing trips down there that they are helping to host and facilitate for us to be able to do strategic work in that country. We are very, very involved in what is going on in Haiti, not only with our time, but with our strategic resources, with people resources, from a leadership standpoint, lots of ways. This is a way that we can partner with them in kind of our kingdom come activity. If God laid it on your heart to be able to change the life of a child for this next year, then what we want you to do is simple. We want you to take this card that you have right here, and we want you to fill out the top portion, okay? And then here's what you can do. After filling out that top portion, if you want to, right now, act on being able to find one of those children that you are going to provide support to, either in a monthly installment of $35 a month or totals for $420 for the year, if you wanted to just give that and support them for the year, as we're going to do in my family. If you want to do that, then that's great. But if you want to go see who that child is, and you want to be able to select which child, you just sense, you know what, God's kind of led me to this child. This child has caught my eye right out here. We've got a few tables outside with those children, some information about them, boys and girls, and you might feel led to say, you know what, I'd like to support this child. Great. You've got the opportunity to act on that right now. And in fact, when we are going to Haiti over the next few trips in the next few years that we take, we've got a trip going in September. There might be people going on that trip that are going to support a child, and they'll go in September, and Mission of Hope will help us meet those children. You'll be able to be face to face with them and share with them the love of Christ and meet the person. That you're helping. This is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. To whom much is given, much is required. That's what Jesus says to us, right? This is part of that. My family will be doing this. And if God has laid it on your heart, I know I'm a little emotional right now, so forgive me. I don't know why. It's because Brad snuck that video up on me and all that. But you don't need to feel emotionally guilted or manipulated into anything. That's not the heart of the gospel. But if God has spoken to you, do what he asks you to do. Do what he asks you to do. Man, I might have to give up some lattes. It's a first world problem. Brad said something when we were there in Haiti, and he was talking about when God led him to adopt his kids. I remember we were just sitting where the church meets in this kind of covered area where we were, and he was just talking with some of us, and we were asking some questions. And I still remember what he said. I don't know if he remembers what he said, but I remember what he said. He said, I came to a place where I decided that it was better for me to have to try and figure out how I can care for this kid that I'm going to adopt than it was for them to figure out how they were going to live. And I thought, that is a responsible, compassionate, loving, gospel-centered heart of a follower of Jesus Christ. So, if you want to act on this today, then just go out there and you can see something that looks just like this with a child's face on it. And you can go and select what child that you want to be a part of supporting. Remember, they're going to be able to hear the gospel. They're going to be educated. They're going to get a nutritious meal so they can live and grow and develop. But if you say, you know what? I'm okay with any of them that they pair me up with. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to be a help. I want to be a support. Great. Fill this card out and go out and just drop it at one of the tables right out in the atrium. Just give it to them. And Mission of Hope will follow up with you and connect you with a child that you'll have the opportunity to sponsor. Okay? So, two primary action items. One, if you don't know Jesus, the heartbeat of everybody in this room, Brad, myself, and everybody in this room that knows Jesus would be, we want you to know him. We want you to be a child of the King. He wants you. He wants you. Come by the fireside room. We'd love to talk to you about that. But the second piece is this. If God so leads you, we would love for you to take on loving these kids so that we can find them places where they're educated, where they're fed, and where they learn to know and love Jesus Christ. This is how we help to change a nation. I love you, folks. Thank you for obeying Jesus and whatever he calls you to do. You're dismissed.